Thank you, Jason. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our guests. We have a number of guests today. Beautiful Sabbath day. Well, the topic of my message today is going to be on anxiety and frustration. It just so happened that Wednesday I got home and was going to be able to carve out about 4 hours of time to prepare for a message. Got home and wanted to put a panel on the dishwasher quickly that we'd had a leak in, and found out there was another leak. So I did a little research, and it happened to not be the dishwasher, so that was good and bad. And as I began to dig a little further, it actually was coming from the refrigerator. So a little over 3 hours later, I had pushed the refrigerator back with no real good solution and had lost an evening. And sure enough, it popped up again Friday. So now we're back to trying to figure that out. But it was a bit frustrating to deal with that. And then it just so happened that on the way to church, I couldn't find my wallet. So I looked everywhere, and it just so happened that I put it in one place. I've never put it before, but I did find it. So I don't know what I was thinking there, but, you know, life does throw you some frustration, doesn't it? And certainly the time of the fall holy days is a time which it seems like it crops up even more so. It seems like Satan is on his game during the fall holy day season and before that time. You know, stress comes in a lot of different ways. It comes in different ways to men. Comes in different ways to women, usually from men. It comes from those that are young, adolescent, teen, young adult, married, those who are single, those who are divorced, those who are widowed, those who are senior and elderly. Stress comes in a lot of different ways. It comes in ways from different personality types. Dealing with those personality types. Regional and geographic means creates different stress. Income levels, poverty levels, all create different levels of stress. If you've ever noticed, they've done series and biographies of presidents, and they've taken pictures as they've become the president, and they've taken pictures after they've left presidency. And they almost all, to a T, look like they've aged about 20 years instead of the 4 to 8 years. And it's a bit startling, really, what stress can do to the physical body. I watched the movie Lincoln recently. I don't know how many of you have watched that movie, a very powerful movie about the time in which Abraham Lincoln was dealing with some of the most stressful times, certainly of this country's history, and decisions being made about things that he knew would cause death, battles that would occur knowing that young men would die, and the anxiety that he had to go through on top of the fact that he had some major family issues. He had to deal with a son that had died prematurely, his wife that was, many said, was mentally ill. He had to go through a lot of stress and anxiety. Well, anxiety, as defined in the Holman Bible Dictionary, says the state of mind wherein one is concerned about something or someone. Merriam Dictionary says anxiety is one of the definitions, a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or anticipated ill, fearful concern or interest, an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs such as sweating, tension, increased pulse. Sometimes people's faces flush, begin to shake, especially during public speaking, right? And it says that by doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. So much of anxiety and frustration comes from yourself. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and what the Bible says about it. Well, feast preparation, there will be frustration and anxiety. So the point of today's message is let's be prepared for it. Let's turn over to Philippians. Philippians 2. We've got about 6 weeks to atonement, and then right after that we're leaving for the Feast of Tabernacles, some earlier than others. Philippians 2, we'll start in verse 20. And really the point here is that there are different types of anxiety. The Bible even points that out. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. So one part of anxiety is caring for others. And worry has many different levels and it has many different impacts to the body and the way you consider situations. What we're going to really focus on today is those things that are extreme that prevent us from having a relationship with God. Go on down to verse 25. We'll read verses 25 through 28. Yet I considered it necessary, and this is speaking to Epaphroditus here, Paul, knowing that these individuals were concerned about him, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. But your messenger and the one who ministered to my needs. Verse 26, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. So here Paul had outgoing concern for those that knew Epaphroditus. He knew that people were concerned about his health. So the point here, I think one of the basic points, is that just because you're not concerned doesn't mean you don't want to relieve the stress and pressure of others. Paul took it into consideration that others were worried about him, and actually took the incentive to send him back so that they would see he was better and would not worry about him. So that shows certainly a point of care and encouragement. Let's go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read here a series of verses that we've read, I know, many times, but I want to draw out some points here as it relates to trials and the anxiety Paul went through. Certainly extreme as we consider our perspective in life and just how much stress and anxiety we really have and how much of that is real. In chapter 11, we'll start in verse 24. It says, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, and so on and so forth. He was under a lot of peril. And in weariness and toil, verse 27, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And after all that, after all the things he had gone through, he comes to this point in verse 28, which is basically, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So this is an excellent example of the fact that even though Paul had gone through a tremendous amount of trials and anxiety, I'm sure, his concern was outward. It was on the churches. In verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak, who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. And in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. In verse 33, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. So here we see Paul put his full faith in God. No matter what was thrown his way, he continued to focus on his goal, which was to preach the word of God and to make sure that he always kept his sights on those that needed to learn about the word of God. Certainly an excellent example. You know, many today have anxiety disorders. There's so much stress in the work environment, at home. There's the whole obsessive compulsive thing that, you know, the type A's have. And what's interesting to me is that even if Paul was type A, even if he was in the extreme there, He made sure that his goal every day was to focus on the right priorities. And we're going to drive that home as we work through the message today. Let's now turn over to Matthew 6. You know, much of what Satan has done today has created the fertile environment for stress and anxiety. It is the perfect fertile ground for anxiety. Consider simple things like a cell phone. Think a cell phone's a curse. It is, sure, you can get to all the information in the world, but it's baggage for the most part. The spam, the amount of email, the phone calls, the accessibility. I forgot my phone. I was at a presentation in Arkansas, and I didn't have it for about 2 days. And at first it was shocking. It was like, I don't have my phone. But then I realized, all right, well, people still know how to get a hold of me one way or the other. But what was interesting was, you ever get those phantom vibrations? Like, you don't have your phone on, you're like, oh, I got a call. And there's no phone. That happened a few times too. But it was actually nice. It was a little relaxing to not have my phone. And it made me realize that Satan is just coming from all different directions. He's so creative in throwing distraction at us every day. Let's look here in Matthew 6 and verse 25. It says, this is, of course, Christ speaking, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So one point I want to draw out here right away is in verse 25, the word worry. Strong's word here is a Greek word. I'm not going to try and pronunciate it. I can be happy to give it to you if you would like. It's G3308. It says the word here, worry, means to be anxious or anxious about, or to take full or careful thought about. And then the word suke, which is the word here, life, is breath. So the focus here is to be worried so much about your own physical life that it is distracting. It is overly distracting that you're so concerned about the things that are not God's priority for us. So let's go ahead and read on down here in verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit of his stature? So, once again, the word here is the same word to be anxious. And to me, the point of this was, we're pretty powerless. We are so temporary and so physical that we can't even add a cubit. We can't create a being from the standpoint of a creature like a butterfly. We didn't create the mountains. And it's very humbling to understand just where we sit in our place, and that anxiety many times can come from things we don't even control. We worry about many times things that we don't always have the power to even deal with. And I worked with an individual one time, and his famous quote was, there's two kinds of problems, yours and mine. And he made sure that you knew what was yours and what was his, because he said, I'm not going to worry about yours. And that was one of his themes, and that has grown on me over the years, because you can worry about a lot of things. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And that to me is probably the strongest underlying theme about anxiety, is that anxiety is really, for the most part, about faith. And it's about the faith in your life that allows you to wipe away those stresses. It's the faith to know that God has a plan for each one of us, and that many times stress and anxiety is just that. It's how much faith you have at the time you're dealing with the situation. Let's go ahead and turn over to James, James 4. James 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So, once again, this is driving home the theme that selfish ambitions many times create the anxieties we deal with. It could be the anxiety of, I need that promotion. I need to make more money. I need that house. Those anxieties are brought on yourself by you because they are many times inwardly focused. And so often, once again, stress is created by the distractions that Satan has placed before you. Let's turn over to Mark. Mark 4. We'll read verses 18 through 20. Mike, you're going to have to get your own water. In Mark chapter 4, 18 through 20. Now these are the ones sown. This is breaking into the parable of the sower. Certainly a set of verses that we've read often. But verse 18 through 20 really drives home this point around how anxiety gets in the way. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So certainly we want to be in the category of producing fruit. And what's interesting to me is I looked up the word choke and what it meant there in verse 18. And it actually means to strangle completely, to completely cut off. And that is to drown and to choke completely or completely strangle. So as I was considering an analogy, I couldn't help but think of one of the shows we watch, and I'm not recommending this show, but it is kind of fun to watch. Duck Dynasty, you guys have ever heard of that? Well, the dad, Phil, hates beavers. Okay, beavers are the terrible threat to his wonderful duck hunting area where the water gets through. Well, these beavers build huge dams. And so what do? They take TNT and AK-47s, and they go out and they stick dynamite inside this thing, and they blow it up, and then they take a gun and they start shooting down in it. The whole point is to get the dam out of the way. Well, if you've ever seen a beaver dam, I don't know how many of you have seen one up close, but there are sticks everywhere. I mean, they work hard, and there's just limbs going all over the place. To me, this example, this analogy is perfect, because I don't think it's not just the one thing that gets in our way many times that we're trying to create a relationship with God. It's all the sticks and branches and all the many things that get in the way that block that access, like the water, to get to the Holy Spirit to be fruitful in our minds. So often what we find is that we're cluttered. Our filter to allow God's word to get into our mind is blocked by that dam that Satan has created. And we have to tear that away. Kind of like that dam, stick a piece of dynamite in it and blow it away. And that means drawing a relationship to God. You have to draw closer to God so that there's not the choking effect of the world around us. And that's where the stress and anxiety comes in. That noise of every day, if we're not on our knees and not pushing that apart so that God's word can get to us, so that His will can be done in our life, we will struggle and we will get stressed. and it will be difficult in our lives. We'll get depressed. We'll get down. We can't let that happen, especially this time of the year as the fall holy days come about us. Let's go ahead, or actually I'll just quote Proverbs 12, verse 12. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. So the catch here is alluding to a net or fishes or animals, but it can also mean to covet the catch, or what it says is the tower or the stronghold, the things that are valuable. So we many times will covet those things that others have. But he's saying here, but the root, the way in which you must be deeply woven is to, in order to yield fruit, is the root of righteousness, is to have that strong relationship with God. And then the synoptic book of Luke, from the book we just read in Mark, related to Christ's analogy, let's turn over to Luke 12. Luke 12. And this is really where we get into the meat or the main goal that we're focused on, in order to make sure that that stress is not overwhelming us. Because we will have stress, and stress is natural, I get that. But having it overwhelm us is not healthy. Luke 12, verse 31. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Jumping down, 31 and verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, his goal is to give us the good things. His goal is to have communication and a daily relationship with us that is not going to be blocked by Satan. He wants to have that relationship with us. And he is genuine about it. In verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And while there aren't many words to that statement, I think it's one of the most difficult things to do as a Christian. I don't think you can ever do it perfectly in this world. And that's maybe just me speaking. But to truly have put all your faith and all your treasure in God's kingdom, and every day to be committed to that, is very difficult to do. Whether it's job distractions or family or the different types of things, the stresses in your life. To start every day with this type of attitude is the best way to start. To know what the end goal is. And that will, I think, reduce the stress you're dealing with. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 3. 'Cause you're hearing this message from someone that is not the best at this. In dealing with my job, there is a lot of stress, but fortunately, part of resolving that stress is having a lot of good people work for me. And that many times is the point, is stress comes at us many times because we haven't planned. Many times stress is due to procrastination or a lack of forethought. So a basic example of this would be preparing for a split sermon. You want to do that well in advance. You could have done that 4 weeks ago, but when you do it the week before, sometimes you feel rushed and you don't always get in the points you want to, or you may feel like it's not as good as it could be. The basis of that is that many times the stress we bring on ourselves is simply from lack of follow through, of knowing what to do, but then not doing it, and then doing it in a rushed way. So I procrastinate like everyone, but I do think, as I reflect on anxiety and stress, it's the same for us as Christians. When we don't do the Bible study, when we don't pray, when we're not prepared, we will be stressed because we're not ready for God's kingdom or whatever, fill in the blank. But that's certainly the goal that we're focused on. Okay, we're in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 2, we'll read here. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and it goes on all the way down, as you know, to verse 5. And as you read through these verses, every scenario that is listed here, we see today. So it stands to reason that we seem to be in perilous times. And we see that in so many different ways in our society and in the world around us. And that in these times in particular, they're stressful because we see this, and we know that we need to be doing our part as Christians, making sure we're prepared as the bride of Christ, making sure that we are ready to accept that marriage. Because Satan's goal all along is to basically be the generator of stress and anxiety. He wants to affect your mental health. He wants to affect your physical health. So you're distracted from having that right relationship. He's jamming those sticks down into that dam, trying to make sure you can't have access in a relationship with God. In 2 Timothy, just turning over a page chapter 3, or actually in the same chapter we're in, we're going to read verse 10 here. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. So here, there's the traits that are being described of what we should be having. And in verse 14, it says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So stay focused. Know what you know and make sure you're reminding yourself of that every day. In verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So here once again we see faith come in as a main theme for managing the life we live in, the stressful and anxious life that we have around us. In verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So here is just the reminder. Make sure your anchor is God's Word. Make sure that that anchor is there every day so that we don't draw too far away from it. In verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that in the end, we are complete. The goal is to be complete. And that this process we go through, and by making sure we're managing the stress of our life, staying focused on the right path, that we will be equipped and striving to be ready for that end goal for the kingdom to come. Let's turn now to the last set of scriptures over in Philippians. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. And in this set of scriptures, what I'm going to do is highlight five basic bullets that I thought were good goals in managing the worry and the anxiety we have in our lives today. In chapter 2, we'll just read through the verses and I'll go through and summarize the bullets. In verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, letting nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. In verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The first point I want to make is that God and Christ both want us to be fruitful. It is one of their goals. They want to see us be successful in this path. This is not something where they're up there waiting to see us fail. That's Satan. Satan's trying to see that happen. God and Christ want to grow their family, and they want us to be a part of it. Point number two, consider the basis of your frustration and anxiety. Many times the cause of that anxiety is breaking it down into two categories. Is it selfish or selfless causation? What has created the issue? If it is something you're creating yourself, stop. Just don't do it. Consider the source of where that stress is coming from and allow yourself not to worry about it. That's very hard to do, I know, but many times that's what it takes. Esteem others greater and consider their plight. So as part of the process, people around us create anxiety for us. And that happens in families, it happens in work, at all different points, right, stress can come from. Well, many times it's the matter of looking outwardly and considering the situation they're in and making sure that you're putting them first. And that's hard to do too, but that's what he's saying we should do. Communicate fellowship with those of like mind. One of the best ways to relieve stress is to have a great Sabbath and great fellowship. That is one of the best ways to enjoy a day. And when you take the time to engage and listen to others, you're relieving their stress, and typically you're relieving your own because you're having a good, fulfilling conversation. And then lastly, showing genuine concern. Showing care and concern, as God does. Taking the time to really care about someone, not just a fleeting hello walking by, but taking the time to look someone in the eyes and to really ask, how are you doing? How's this trial? What's going on in your life? You know, what can I do? What can I pray for you? Those types of things. That's the type of fruit God is wanting to see. Well, in conclusion, stress and anxiety are a part of all of our lives. Satan will be ratcheting up the noise and distractions over the coming weeks. That's something I can pretty well guarantee. When these burdens begin to weigh down, consider what the Bible teaches. Take time to really think through the source of your frustration and draw closer to God to diffuse the anxiety that is simply many times self-created. Our goal is to grow in faith and focus on what these upcoming fall holy days are about and what they symbolize. And God's plan is so exciting. Let that zeal and yearning burn in you as you strive to be fruitful every day.